25. Occupy the moral high ground, the righteous strategy. In a political world, the causes you are fighting for must seem more just than the enemies. Think of this as moral terrain that you and the other side are fighting over. By questioning your enemy's motives and making them appear evil, you can narrow their base of support and room to maneuver. Aim at the soft spots in their public image, exposing any hypocrisies on their part. Never assume that the justice of your cause is self-evident. Publicize and promote it. When you yourself come under moral attack from a clever enemy, do not whine or get angry. Fight fire with fire. If possible, position yourself as the underdog, the victim, the martyr. Learn to inflict guilt as a moral weapon. The moral offensive. In 1513, the 37-year-old Giovanni de' Medici, son of the illustrious Florentine Lorenzo de' Medici, was elected pope and assumed the name Leo X. The church that Leo now led was in many ways the dominant political and economic power in Europe, and Leo, a lover of poetry, theater, and painting, like others in his famous family, wanted to make it also a great patron of the arts. Earlier popes had begun the building of the Basilica of St. Peter's in Rome, the preeminent seat of the Catholic Church, but had left the structure unfinished. Leo wanted to complete this mighty project, permanently associating it with his name, but he would need to raise a fair amount of capital to be able to pay for the best artists to work on it. And so, in 1517, Leo launched a campaign to sell indulgences. Then, as now, it was Catholic practice for the faithful to confess their sins to their priest, who would enforce their contrition by assigning them a penance, a kind of worldly punishment. Today, this might simply be a prayer or a counting of the rosary, but penances were once more severe, including fasts and pilgrimages, or financial payments known as indulgences. The nobility might pay an indulgence in the form of a saintly relic purchased for their church, a large expense that would translate into the promise of a reduced time spent in purgatory after death, purgatory being a kind of halfway house for those not evil enough for hell, not good enough for heaven, so forced to wait. The lower classes might pay a smaller fee to buy forgiveness for their sins. Indulgences were a major source of church income. For this particular campaign, Leo unleashed a squadron of expert indulgence salesmen across Europe, and the money began to pour in. As his chief architect for the completion of St. Peter's, he appointed the great artist Raphael, who planned to make the building a splendid work of art, Leo's lasting legacy to the world. All was going well until, in October 1517, news reached the Pope that a priest named Martin Luther, some tiresome German theologian, had tacked to the doors of the Castle Church of Wittenberg a tract called the 95 Theses. Within a few weeks, all Germany seemed to have read it. The 95 Theses was essentially an attack on the practice of selling indulgences. It was up to God, not the Church, to forgive sinners, Luther reasoned, and such forgiveness could not be bought. The tract went on to say that the ultimate authority was Scripture. If the Pope could cite Scripture to refute Luther's arguments, the priest would gladly recant them.